be paid a delivery commission that varied throughout the country, here in Oregon or here in the Portland area. Depending on the day of the week, it was anywhere from $3 to, I think, $4. So we'd have that delivery commission, and it would be per order in the batch, and we could get more than one. We could shop for more than one customer. So we'd get that for each one, plus we'd get 40 cents per item. And then we got tips on top of that. They changed that back in November to just be a flat rate plus tips. Wow. And then they changed it even again, and nobody understands what it is now.
Wow. Thank you so much for explaining that. We did manage to get someone online on our telephone here to the interview. Chris, are you with us? Why don't you say hello, introduce yourself, and tell everybody what type of app platform you're with.
Yes. Hi, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Hi. Yes, my name is Chris, and I actually do work for some Postmates, but mainly I have more experience working with DoorDash.
And how long have you been?
The two platforms that I'm.
Sorry about that. Yeah. How long have you been working with DoorDash? How long have you spent with delivery apps in general?
Yeah, so I've done 4 years. I started with Uber and then ended up here with Postmates or DoorDash. And it basically, the last 2 years I've been working with DoorDash off and on.
So how are you feeling about these delivery app services in your experience?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Previously, 9 months ago, I ended up homeless, working 70 hours a week. And so it made it really difficult to live and function and have a normal life.
So what is the current pay issue about in your perspective?
Okay, well, the current pay, okay, so it's terrible for one. The first thing is the transparency of it is like you just don't know what you're being paid and how you're being paid. It's all a secret. It's all based on black box, like, you know, algorithm that we don't get told or we don't have any idea. And it's terrible.
So I want to ask both of you, how do you feel about your efforts? Do you feel that your efforts are being valued by these companies?
Absolutely not.
Chris?
How do you feel valued?
No. What about from your customers? Do you feel valued from the customers who make these deliveries?
Some of them, yeah. I have some really fantastic customers. I have some really awful customers that want to treat us like serfs, worse than the hired help. And it's pretty disgusting. But then that's the way all customer service can be.
So you've mentioned some of the problems that the workers are having with these companies. I believe Chris mentioned transparency and an algorithm. Could you explain a little bit quickly what that means for people who have never worked for one of these app delivery companies? Chris?
Yes, absolutely. So the algorithms are basically technology-based, terms that basically they tell you that it tracks how many miles you go on deliveries, and it factors in all the factors that pay you, basically. That's what they tell us. But there's no itemized breakdown of how that works out. So we just have to go with it and understand it, which none of us do.
So you must be talking about things.
Does that make sense?
A little bit. I'm just want to clarify. You must be talking about things like your pay per mile rate, your pay per minute rate, and how much you're going to get overall for that delivery, and if whether or not there's incentives.
So let me tell you about like what an average delivery is. So when you get a job, they have a guaranteed through DoorDash. They guarantee you $6.50. That's their guarantee that they give to you. But that does not account for the mileage that you have to drive to the restaurant. You could be 7 miles away, and then they offer you $6.50, and that's just to the restaurant. So ultimately, you're driving all these miles, and they're not adding up to the numbers that they're actually paying us.
Wow. How does that work with Instacart? Could you tell us?
Instacart does not pay mileage at all. Oh, sorry. Instacart does not pay mileage at all. They claim that they do, and they try and break it out, but actually that's part of our wages, and it really doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter where they are. They tried to send me on one today. to deliver, to shop for and to deliver to two different customers 10.5 miles, and that didn't even take into account how far I was going to go to the store or how long it was going to take me to shop, and they wanted to pay me $8 for that. Now, I don't know where that $8, I don't know how they came up with that number. None of us seem to know how they come up with the numbers. They just throw a number out there. They tell us what our tip is, but that tip can be removed within 3 days. They have 3 days to alter it, including taking it completely away.
Wow. Removing tips, I think, is not something that many customers would be aware of.
I'm going to jump in. I'm really curious. I'm more of a listener here because I've never worked for any of these apps. And I'm curious if you could break it down a little bit for our listeners. With your previous conditions, working 40 hours, how much money could you expect to reasonably make in a month? And how do you think this is going to change based on the way some of the pay scales are shifting?
Well, back before November, I was going to school full time. I could work 3 days a week, which was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I was bringing home anywhere from $600 to $800 a week. I haven't made more than $500 a week since November. And I'm putting in a ton of hours, but I don't take a lot of batches because I would actually have to pay to work at the end of it based on what I do in my car, fuel, being out of my being out and about, my hourly rate, that kind of thing. And so I skip a lot. And I think customers do know on Instacart that they can remove their tips, and there are customers that do that. It's a bait and switch.
I think tip theft is something that has come up before in regards to these delivery app companies. I believe there was a February 4th article regarding tip theft from DoorDashers. Chris, could you tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So the tip theft is basically they're under investigation right now for it because enough people have spoken up about it. I being one of them. But the thing about it is they're not, okay, so the customers I've ran into that they tell me they tip a certain amount, you know, occasionally here and there, and then it's not exactly, when I look at the numbers that I'm getting paid for the application, for the drive that I just did, it's not adding up to what they told me they just tipped me. And so it made me all of a sudden question it and look into it, and that makes sense to why they're, you know, profiting so much as a business, because they're, you know, they charge delivery fees, okay, on top of that. And then they pay, so they're coming out of pocket nothing. We're actually paying them to go on deliveries. It's terrible.
What is the one thing that you would like people who order or even partner with these companies to know about the people who work for the companies and about the working conditions that you're in? If you only had to pick one thing, Chris, what would you want them to know?
I love that question. So they try to keep us separated. You know, that's their mission, is to try to keep us separated and to keep referring new drivers they rely on the new people. So they feed out the old people and in with the new people because the new people talk them up. So I would like people to know that if you're a customer and you use these applications, to really know what the real deal is here with us. We don't get paid nothing. You know, we're struggling, all of us. And, you know, because they have no idea. They're so detached. And that's the way that they plan. They keep us that way. So that's what I really want everybody to know is really how that works out.
Thank you for that. You know? Definitely. Heidi, would you be able to answer that? What's one thing you would like your customers and the partners to know about Instacart Shopper?
I would like the customers to understand that we drive our personal vehicles, that we don't work for the grocery stores that they order from. We work through Instacart, but we don't work for Fred Meyer, we don't work for Costco, and we're going to show up in our personal vehicle. So ordering 18 cases of water is unrealistic and unreasonable. And I realize that customers sometimes think that we're going to show up in a big van, a big refrigerated van with a dolly. I would like them to know that we don't work for these grocery stores, that we're independent contractors. And that we rely on tips. It's a luxury service. I think that's something that's coming down with how we deal with etiquette on this. Everybody knows at a restaurant you tip 15% to 20%. I think in gig economies they need to understand that's typical. That's what they need to be doing, is tipping 10% to 20%. Less than that is exploitative.
Thank you. Wow. So I think now that you guys have given a wealth of information to all of our listeners, thank you so much for that. What can the people do to support your work, to support the drivers of these app delivery companies?
Pay up. Oh, I can. So we have a pay up campaign that is that's mostly comprised of gig workers, although I believe there are some customers that go in and they get to learn some more stuff.
What is the pay up campaign? Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? I know you've been working with this campaign for some time.
Yes, I've actually been doing it since, about 2 years now. And it's developed and it's grown so much lately. There's a lot of momentum. Right now, the campaign is all based on getting these companies to pay at least a $15 plus expenses guaranteed. Okay, so that's what we're shooting for. So on top of that, we also are shooting for transparency. We want to know from each company how we're being paid. We want to know every detail. That's why we accept jobs, is to know what we're working for. We're also working on a project right now called the Blitz Up Pay Up Blitz Up. We're trying to get Postmates to as many Postmates signatures as possible, 2,000, and then once we get to that we're going to launch the action. So it's really an exciting movement that we're making, and I would love if you guys could please, all you listeners, please go on and sign up.
Wow, thank you for that. I believe that there is a website link where we can point people towards more information. Do either of you happen to have that on you? I believe, from what I know, it's payup.wtf. Is that correct?
I believe that's it.
Yep, slash Blitz Up. Slash Blitz Up.
Yep.
Blitz Up. BLITZUP. You heard that. So if you want to learn more,
there's a dash.
There is a part of the movement being taken is at payup.wtf/blitzup. Wow. Thank you very much, both of you, for all of this information. And I'd really like to say thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts for informing everybody about this, because I don't think a lot of customers or businesses that contract with these companies are fully aware of the conditions that these workers are in. So
I want to thank you for having us both here and giving us the opportunity to let some people know what's going on, so we're not just kind of talking to empty walls.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to thank you for having me as well. It really means a lot. And yes, I hope that you guys got something out of it.
Thank you very much, Chris and Heidi. Uber has found itself in news headlines again today after the company claimed it will begin removing riders from the ride-sharing app if they have a, quote, significantly below average rating. It is currently unclear what qualifies as a below average rating, as the company has not yet released the new criteria. However, an Uber spokesperson has reported that the deactivation rating will vary by city. Kate Parker, Uber's head of safety, brand, and initiatives, wrote, quote, "Respect is a two-way street, and so is accountability. We only expect a small number of riders to be impacted by the rating-based deactivation," end quote. Currently, Uber drivers face deactivation if their rating falls below 4.6. The announcement comes before a report on safety transparency that the company is going to release later this year, approximately 1 year late. It is expected to include data on claims of sexual assault by drivers and passengers. The report is feared to have a detrimental impact on public opinion of this rideshare app. The company hopes that the new rating-based deactivation method will hold riders more accountable for the ways in which they engage with drivers and their vehicles.
In the background of the recent protests by mobile workers is the initial public offering by the Uber Corporation. This is the first time the billion-dollar corporation is joining the stock market, and its IPO in mid-May raised more than $8 billion, but it had been aiming at $100 billion. The New York Times reported this month that Uber officials' decision to, quote, decouple passenger fares from driver pay is a major draw for investors in the IPO because it helps avoid guaranteeing fares to drivers. But protesting gig workers have focused on Uber because their IPO is one of the biggest in history. And because the corporation's relationship with its workers is so bad, Uber is planning major investments in driverless car technology.
Gig economy drivers clogged the street last Saturday in Los Angeles as members of the Mobile Workers Alliance lined up in West Adams Heights, slowing traffic and honking their horns for better pay. The workers for Uber, Lyft, Postmates, and other companies are calling for a $30 per hour guaranteed minimum wage. That's $15 per hour for the driver and $15 per hour for vehicle costs. Organizers for the Los Angeles action said their goal was to temporarily shut down operations at the Uber Greenlight Hub, where drivers go for paperwork processing, in-person driver support, and basic vehicle inspections. According to the local Larchmont newspaper, the drivers then headed over to a McDonald's on Crenshaw and joined the striking workers there, who are also calling for a $15 minimum wage. Organizers for the Uber Hub rally said mobile drivers' average hourly wage is about $9.21. New York City passed a minimum wage law for gig economy drivers last December, but the Lyft Corporation is challenging it in court.
Drivers for Postmates, that's the app which allows you to order food and goods from various merchants, they're speaking out against that 30% pay cut the company surprised them with on May 18th. Workers for this and other delivery app services have been organizing recent campaigns to draw awareness to working conditions in the burgeoning gig economy. This has included workers for Uber, DoorDash, and Instacart, who are also unhappy with their pay and working conditions. KBOO's Leslie McLam spoke with Postmates driver Joshua Stevens about this issue only 1 week after the pay changes. Many people enjoy ordering delivery food from apps like Uber Eats, DoorDash, and Postmates. They're all very popular and they're growing. And there have been a lot of stories in the news, especially recently, about these apps that deliver for you and the drivers who are speaking up about working for them. One of them was a recent May 20th, 2019 TechCrunch article titled "Postmates Workers Want Minimum Delivery Guarantee and At Least 15 Per Hour." This mentions that app delivery workers are speaking out and up for better pay, and I happen to get one here to speak with us today. His name is Joshua Stevens, and he's from Charlotte, Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing all right. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here today. So I wanted to ask you, what kind of app deliveries services do you work for? How long have you been working for them?
Well, I only work for Postmates, and I've been working for them since September 21st of 2018.
All right. How do you feel about the job doing deliveries through these apps, and why did you get into this type of work?
Well, I got into this type of work because, you know, I've worked other jobs my entire life, you know, from warehouse to, you know, community police officer to, you know, fast food and shopping stores and everything. And this job really allowed me to have the opportunity for the, you know, the flexibility and to be my own boss.
Are there any drawbacks to having this kind of job?
I would have to say, you know, all the hours spent out on the road, you know. You don't, you know, if you want to make some money, you know, you really have to put time and effort into it, you know, in order to really make a decent salary at some point.
So all this time and effort that you're putting in, do you feel that you get valued by Postmates, the company? Do you feel valued by the customers and even by the partner restaurants that you pick up your deliveries from?
Well, I feel extremely valued by every one of my customers that I deliver to. And I feel extremely valued by all of the partnered restaurants and establishments in which we pick up from. But I absolutely do not feel valued by Postmates company whatsoever.
Could you explain a little more about why you feel that way?
Well, I feel that way because, you know, I'm out there on a daily basis, 6 days a week, probably 12 to 14 hours a day. And, you know, I'm out here making, you know, a bunch of deliveries, and they give us these really crazy incentives that, like, you know, it's just about impossible to reach. And they do a lot of things throughout the job that, you know, they try to trick you into taking orders, and they, you know, they don't pay you proper wages for, like, if you have two pickups, they won't pay you for two pickups. They only pay you for one pickup. They just cut our pay like 40%. And they've been keeping tips from us. You know, they've been trying to to substitute, you know, the tip as being part of our pay instead of giving that to us as, you know, an extra from our customer.
Wow. How has this really impacted your finances since this pay change has happened and since they've been doing these tactics with the pay?
Well, I'll just put it this way. When I first started, I was making anywhere between $600 and $800 a week, and that's with doing anywhere between 22 to 25 deliveries every day, 6 days a week. And now I'm barely getting 25 deliveries a week, and I'm lucky if I even bring home $100 a week. So it's impacting me rather huge, you know?
I can understand that. What would you like to see as a change for this pay? What would you like to receive to feel valued by Postmates in as far as compensation goes?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked, too. You know, I would like for Postmates to establish at least a minimum pay floor of at least $15 an hour for every hour worked, plus expenses and tips, and at least some kind of transparency with the, you know, within the pay. And I would really like, you know, for us to have that option to accept or decline bundled orders, you know, because we don't know where they go, what the distance is, and the pay for bundled orders just really isn't worth it. And I would like to see more incentives too.
See, I think that's something that maybe many customers and partner restaurants may not understand is how the orders work with the pay. You mentioned bundled orders. Would you explain quickly a little bit what that is for people who don't drive, who don't know?
Okay, well, a bundled order is like, say if you order something through Postmates and I go to a restaurant and I pick it up. Well, if John orders something from the same restaurant and I just happen to already be there, they automatically add it onto our pickup and we don't know about it until either we get back into our vehicle or we're already down the street sometimes, and then we have to go back and pick up that other order. But when we deliver those two orders, we only get paid really for that one order.
You only get paid for the one order. So like for only picking up at one restaurant, you got paid one time.
Correct. We only get paid to pick up one order instead of paying to get picked up for two orders.
For each order, right. Well, I could see how that makes a big difference, and that would definitely make a dent in your earnings.
Correct.
Is there something that you're doing to address this issue or that you and other drivers are trying to reach out? How can people learn more about this?
Well, I mean, for people that are listening first, you know, we really urge the customers of these gig companies, you know, that go online to order food, you know, we really urge them to know that, you know, well, there's a couple things, you know, that Postmates and all these other DoorDash and Uber Eats and all them, they're going through a lot of different changes right now that are having a lot of really negative effects on the drivers, you know. And they try to, you know, divide us from the customer and restaurants. So, like, if we have an order that we're going to go pick up, then they just automatically, you know, take it away from us, even if we're 2 seconds down the street, and then they try to give it to another driver when we're already there. So we don't get paid for driving all that way.
Wow, that sounds interesting. You've mentioned that sometimes you're given orders without choosing to accept them, and you've also now said that they've taken away deliveries after you've chosen to make that delivery. That doesn't seem to be the same as what I've read about from their marketing online, talking about how their fleet drivers have full choice over all of their deliveries and what they choose to accept or not. How does that line up?
It honestly, it doesn't line up. You know, if we pick an order, like, for example, I was at a restaurant the other day and I was literally right out front, and because I just happened to be driving by, so I accepted it. And when I got there into the parking lot, they took it away and gave it to another driver. And I was already at the establishment. Wow. Well, there went a $4 delivery or whatever, you know. we drive all these miles and we don't get paid for gas and wear and tear, and we don't get paid for, you know, the miles, and our wait times are completely messed up. So if we're going into a restaurant and I'm waiting 20 minutes to pick up your order, it's like they only pay us for 5 or 6 minutes. You know, if there's other people that are listening that are Postmates drivers that are beginning, I really urge them to go onto YouTube and look up DoorDash guy. His name is Christopher Palmer. He's a really, really awesome guy. You know, he gives you a lot of the updates and the behind the scenes of what's really going on from his own personal perspective as well. And he's in Seattle, and he has that YouTube channel, DoorDash Guy, all one word.
That reminds me of another YouTuber who works addressing some of these Postmate issues, Postmates Paul. Have you heard of that YouTuber?
Yes, I have.
Right. I think he has a large following. I've found out a little bit about this as well. Are you doing anything with other drivers like Postmates Paul has to reach out and try and get people on board? Is there a campaign or a website that people can go to find out more and to get on board with the drivers?
Yes. There is a couple websites actually that people can go to. For customers, drivers, and store owners, they can go ahead and read a little bit more about it on payup.wtf/sign-on. Or if you're a driver or a store a company owner that wants to reach out to one of our top people, they can go to gig@workingwa.org, and they have a lot of the information. You could also follow us on twitter.com/stoppostmates and workingwa on the Facebook page, the Pay Up campaign. You know, I also want a lot of the customers and the drivers and store owners to know that, you know, the customer service with a lot of these companies are really, really horrible. I had a problem the other day and I called in, and like I said, this is just from my personal experience. You know, I had called in the other day and a guy had told me in the customer support that I'm just a subcontractor, so if I don't like the way things are ran, I can just sign off and never sign back on. And a lot of other drivers get that to a lot of these other gig companies, the same exact really horrible, poor customer service skills.
Right, and it just seems to be that if you do all this hard work and you have an issue, you'd like it maybe to be addressed instead of somebody telling you that you should turn your blind eye and walk away and allow somebody else to be treated that way and get such low pay, as low as you were mentioning, around $4 for deliveries. I'm not sure if there are many listeners that would choose to take only $4 for running around maybe 5-10 miles. So I'd like to thank you definitely for being an amazing delivery warrior.
And thank speaking, you very much.
Thank you for speaking with us today, Josh.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and let you go and wrap this up. Thank you. You can look more into this. As he mentioned, the website, there is a campaign called Pay Up. It's payup.wtf/sign-on. And also the other site mentioned is gig@workingwa.org, is gig@workingwa.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kenzie Beard, Dan Raphael, and Joshua Shermans. The producer is Leslie McLam, and our engineer is Tammy Habibtayes. The interim director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Leslie McLamb. Thank you for listening.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO May Board of Directors meeting will happen on Monday, June 3rd at 6 p.m. because of the Memorial Day holiday. The June board meeting will take place at the regular date and time, 6 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Co-Housing, creating community one neighborhood at a time, on Friday, May 31st at the Elliott Center in Portland. Co-Housing, creating community one neighborhood at a time, is a public talk by Grace Kim about the loneliness epidemic in Portland and how co-housing can help. Grace is a principal at Skamata Workshop and a co-founder of Capitol Hill Urban Co-Housing in Seattle.